Well, good morning once again, and God bless you as we celebrate this Lord's Day, Sunday, May the 10th, 2020. And by my calculations, the seventh Sunday now that we've been unable to assemble ourselves together in our regular church at Balaclava School Hall. Today also happens to be the second Sunday in the month of May, which I hope all you husbands and kids remembered as Mother's Day. So we're wishing God special blessing and a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. We continue to pray for the Lord's blessing and encouragement for the people who make up Coastline Baptist Church, and we're looking forward to the day when the coronavirus plague becomes history, like SARS and the H1N1 did, and we will be able to get together again in person. Until then, let's determine to keep serving the Lord, keep in prayer for our church and each other, and continue to walk in the light of God's word. Where is God leading us, and where will we end up as we follow him in this life? I don't know, but I do know that he promises that if we commit ourselves to him in everything we do, he will lead us to wherever it is that he wants us to be. Last week, as our message for the Lord's Day, I posted a message to our website entitled Living in the Times of the Signs. It was a message intended to make us aware of the closeness of the Christian's blessed hope, the fulfilling of the prophecy which promises that the Lord Jesus Christ will come and take his bride to heaven, just prior to the commencement of the 7-year Great Tribulation period. While we don't spend our days looking for signs, trying to predict who the Antichrist is and when he might be likely to arrive on the scene, but rather we look for the coming of the Lord, nevertheless we do well to take heed and be aware of things that are taking place around us that give us some indication of the closeness of that momentous event. In my message last week, there was quite a lot of information about certain evil men who are currently very busy trying to develop a system identified by them as a cryptocurrency system using body activity data, which includes giving everyone on the planet some kind of a mark which will record their personal information, including whether they have been vaccinated against coronavirus, and which will also enable those who have been vaccinated to access cryptocurrency or computerized non-tangible money that will allow them to buy and sell goods and services. What has been of extreme interest to many prophetic type ministries throughout the world is that this is exactly the same thing that is mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 13, where we read in verses 16 to 18, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Verse 18 says, here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Nobody that I know of, who I regard as trustworthy in the prophetic community, is currently game enough to outright say that the proposed cryptocurrency idea, promoted by the likes of Bill Gates of Microsoft and other God-rejecting men, is definitely the mark of the beast, which has association with the number 666. Nevertheless, they are saying, and I agree with them, that what we see taking place today is quickly leading to the ultimate fulfillment of that system, evidenced by its association with that infamous number. During the closing of my message last week, I asked a question. Will Billy Gates' cryptocurrency system, using body activity data, be the Antichrist's mark? My response to that question was, who knows? I don't. But I certainly do know that just like the barcode system that was set up in the 1940s to track the buying and selling of consumer products in shops, and which is also based on the number 666, and which has been the forerunner of today's advances in computerization and the ability to track every person on planet Earth, this 666 patent of Billy Gates will also be integrated into a system that will include a mark and will have the ability to track every person and every financial transaction that they engage in. And that if a person does not have the mark, he will not be able to buy or sell, just as the Bible says. My comment about the barcode, its introduction in the 1940s, and my claiming that it was associated with the prophesied 666 mark of the beast, created some interest about how I could make that claim with such confidence, And so I thought it might be an appropriate time to remind ourselves where the ability to implement an invention known as a cryptocurrency system using body activity data actually originated. Also today we'll learn not just where the ability came from, but where the actual idea came from. Who is behind the idea? That's what we need to find out. To do that, I'm going to refer to the series of seven messages that I presented beginning in October 2015, entitled The 1940s, the Fig Tree Generation. In particular, message number four, which dealt with the invention of the barcode system and its association with the number 666. The text for my message this morning comes from Luke, chapter 21, verses 29-32, where we read, "And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us today to get something out of this message that will protect us and keep us prepared and looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you for giving us your word, Lord, and helping us to be able to see and understand all things, Lord, that are important to our lives as we determine in our hearts to walk with you and follow you and obey you and be found faithful to you, Lord. We pray today as we consider this message, Lord, about what's going on around the world today, Lord, with regard to this this system that people want to bring in, Lord. We pray that you give us wisdom and understanding and help us, Lord, to be safe in these very perilous times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After I got saved in Weeper in 1982, I spent a huge amount of my time reading, something I hadn't really devoted much of my time to previously. As well as having a great hunger to read the scriptures, however, I also read a mountain of books and articles, anything even remotely related to this newly discovered subject of God, Jesus, and this thing called Christianity. I must admit that not everything I read in those early days was sound doctrine, and I soon realized that not all of the supposedly Christian authors agreed on everything. But as I continued to grow in my knowledge of the scriptures, I also grew to recognize what was scriptural, what was heresy, what was nonsense, and what was just plain lies. During my reading of all those books and articles after my conversion, I became increasingly aware of something that seemed to be related to the subject of our opening scripture. I began to realize that numerous events which were taking place in our present day, and which had some kind of influence upon the church, either for good or bad, had their beginnings during the 1940s. I also came to the conclusion that the generation that shall not pass away, also spoken of in our opening scripture, is the generation that also had its beginning during that very same decade, namely the 1940s. After noticing in all of the different materials that I was reading the repeated reference to dates relative to the 1940s, I began listing them. And I became convinced that it was not by accident that certain significant events have been taking place during this particular period of history. I saw a pattern emerging, an intricate design being revealed that clearly showed that when God moved in a specific direction, performing some major event on behalf of the Jewish nation or on behalf of the church, there would be a just as significant conflicting event taking place, as though someone or something was attempting to undo what God was performing. Eventually, it dawned upon me that there were evil forces at work, attempting to hinder the Lord's purposes. There was an adversary to the objectives of God, someone who doesn't take God's execution of his plans lying down. As Christians who faithfully read the Word of God, we know that the adversary of God's plans and the adversary of God's people, whether they be the Jewish nation or the church, is the devil himself. But again, also because we faithfully read and study the Word of God, believing that what we read is truth, we know that no matter how firm the devil is in his purpose to prevent God's predetermined plan, it is God who succeeds in the end, and it is the devil who fails. Having said that, though, it doesn't mean that the devil isn't able to inflict much damage upon God's people in his attempt to convince us that there is no profit in serving the Lord and declaring our allegiance to him. In our opening scripture of Luke chapter 21, we read in verses 29 and 30, "And he spake to them a parable, Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand." It is widely understood and accepted by today's students of prophecy that the fig tree mentioned in this parable is symbolic of the Jewish nation, Israel. It is also generally accepted that the fig tree began to put forth shoots on May the 14th, 1948, when British Mandate ended and the State of Israel was proclaimed. After nearly two millennium of exile of the Jewish people, Israel was once again a nation, and the end time clock began ticking, counting down to the end of the age. My series of messages was inspired when I saw that in the times when God moved the mightiest, Satan also made a countermove, and the time period just prior to the proclamation of the State of Israel in 1948 was no exception. For instance, during the Second World War, Adolf Hitler, in a program called The Final Solution, deliberately and systematically murdered more than 6 million Jews, mostly in death camps set up for that specific purpose. However, the Bible, as well as secular history, records that this was not the first time that a policy of utter extermination had been implemented to rid the earth of the despised Jews. We read in the Bible, in the book of Esther, for example, of the attempt of a man called Haman to introduce this very same policy of ethnic cleansing, which, like Hitler's satanic attempt, also failed. Another example of Satan's wrath against the Jews is evident in the very first chapter of the book of Exodus, where a law was introduced in Egypt immediately prior to the birth of Moses, who was to be God's instrument in bringing the Hebrew people out from under the yoke of bondage and slavery, and leading them into their own promised land, Israel. Moses survived the Egyptian law of infanticide and went on to accomplish God's intended purposes. In the Gospel of Matthew, it is recorded that King Herod, upon learning of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ from the wise men, attempted to discover where Jesus was so that he could kill him. Like Pharaoh in Egypt, also inspired by Satan, Herod issued his own decree of national infanticide in his attempt to kill Jesus. But in the same way that Pharaoh failed, so too did Herod. It becomes evident when reading scripture that Satan is out to do all that he possibly can to bring ruin and destruction to the plans of God and upon the people of God, not only upon his chosen people, the Jews, but also upon all who have been truly born again, according to the scriptures, upon all who proclaim Jesus as Lord and who walk in obedience to the commandments of God. In Genesis 3:15, we read of the enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the devil, and we read of this again in the very last book of the Bible, in Revelation 12 and verse 17. Here we read, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God, and had the testimony of Jesus Christ." This enmity between the seed of the woman, Israel, and the seed of the devil will continue until the Lord Jesus returns personally and destroys the armies arrayed against Israel at the Battle of Armageddon. As we look in retrospect at modern history, at the last 70 or so years in particular, we will see a strategy that has been implemented by none other than Satan himself in his bid to steal, to kill, and to destroy as many converts and potential converts to God's kingdom as he possibly can before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. My generation is called the baby boomers. God's word calls that generation the fig tree generation. It's the generation that was born during the 1940s, the one that Jesus spoke about in Luke 21:32, when he said, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not all pass away till all be fulfilled." In other words, the baby boomers, or the fig tree generation, will not all die before the curtains come down and the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Time is running out, my friends. This morning, with regard to last week's message about a cryptocurrency system using body activity data and its relationship to the number 666 and the mark of the beast, I want to establish that the fulfillment of this prophecy about being excluded from buying and selling if you don't have the mark is well and truly maturing today. And its journey towards that fulfillment began in the 1940s, when the fig tree shot forth its leaves. The first step that I want to mention as being on the path leading towards the eventual mark of the beast with some kind of mark which has an association with the number 666 is the invention of the transistor. The transistor is the fundamental building block of practically all modern electronic technology and is now everywhere in modern electronic systems and digital devices. Without getting too technical, a transistor is an electronic switch that can be switched between the two states of either on or off. They can be used to represent the state of positive or negative, true or false, and in the case of computers, which have been designed around a diabolically simple system of binary mathematics, the transistor can represent the number 0 or 1. For example, if the transistor is switched on, it can represent the positive number 1, and if it's switched off, it can represent the negative number 0. The transistor was developed in 1947 by three American physicists, John Braden, Walter Bratton, and William Shockley, and it revolutionized the field of electronics, paving the way for the development of the computer. And not only that, but because it could be manufactured in such small size, which has only decreased as the years have gone by, it paved the way for the miniaturization of transistor-based products, such as the computer itself, cameras, telephones, TV sets, radios, calculators, and all of the technological devices that have besieged our modern society. All of the things which we now take for granted and which very well couldn't successfully function without or even survive without in our present day. The three scientists who developed the transistor, as well as many others in the scientific community, soon realized the potential of what they had discovered. But perhaps none of them could foresee the impact that the transistor would eventually have upon shaping society globally. The three scientists were jointly awarded the 1956 Nobel Prize in physics for their research on semiconductors and their discovery of the transistor effect. Computerization has become the way we exist today. Everything that we take for granted as normal in our modern society depends upon computerization, and it all began the year before the fig tree put forth its leaves, with the invention of this small device called the transistor. God restored the nation of Israel, and at the same time the devil saw an emerging opportunity to get in and disrupt and even attempt to prevent God's plan. Before we go any further, though, let me be very clear about something here. Did the devil inspire a group of scientists to invent the transistor to be used against God? Was it the devil who gave men the wisdom and understanding to develop the transistor? No, it wasn't. It was God. God has a purpose for the invention of the transistor in bringing forth the climax of his plan for the ages. But like he's done with every other good invention inspired by God, the devil has jumped aboard and hijacked it for his evil purposes, which, as we know, are never, ever intended for the good of men or for God. In Exodus chapter 35, when the people in the wilderness constructed the tabernacle, we are told that it was God who filled certain people with his spirit of wisdom, understanding and knowledge, enabling them to perform all the manner of workmanship and to devise all kinds of curious works or imaginative inventions, and God put it in the heart of certain people to teach others their God-given skills. So it's not the devil who gives to man wisdom, understanding, and inventive skills, but God. The devil simply convinces unregenerate men to use God's good inventions to spread his evil. God has a purpose for the invention of the transistor, and it was he who inspired man to invent it. Without it, many of the prophecies that God has ordained that are still to be fulfilled would not be possible. As just one example from among many, let's think about the prophecy of God's two witnesses in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. When the two witnesses are killed and their bodies are left lying in the street in Jerusalem, we are told in verse 9 of Revelation 11 that they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Before the invention of the transistor, and all the other digital technology that has resulted from that event, such as the recent development of high-speed digitally transmitted video images. How would it be possible for everyone to see instantaneously in real time God's two witnesses lying in the street in Jerusalem for 3.5 days, and then see them resurrected back to life and ascend into heaven? The simple answer is, they wouldn't be able to. But God is going to make sure that everyone will be able to witness those crucial events taking place. And he gifted certain scientists back in 1947, just prior to the blossoming of the fig tree, to begin the process of bringing that about. But as I said, the devil has jumped aboard to get his slice of the action. And as we are told in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26, he is ensnaring the greater part of society, literally taking them captive to do his will instead of God's will. And that includes both the unregenerate, lost multitude upon the earth who purposefully reject the gospel, and also that other great multitude upon the earth who actually do claim to be Christian, but who are mostly ignorant of or resistant to what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 2:11 about making ourselves aware of Satan's devices so he won't get the advantage over us. Some of us think it doesn't refer to us when the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:11 that we must put on the whole armour of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles or the snares and the trickery of the devil. Mostly we think it refers to everyone else when the Bible warns in 1 Peter 5:8 that we are to be sober and to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walks around upon the earth just like a roaring lion, seeking to devour us. Those scriptures don't refer to me, or if they do, I don't need to take them so seriously. That's what many of us think. Unfortunately, along with all these great and useful gadgets that have resulted from the invention of the transistor, a minority of which are actually necessary for our daily living, there has come a great tragedy and a great evil in the land, my friends, and most of us as professing Christians are either unaware of it, complacent about it, or even willfully accepting of it, despite all the warnings coming from the Bible, from the writings of mature Christian authors, and from the sound preaching and teaching of Bible-believing churches, not to mention from the Holy Spirit's personal conviction. God never intended that it should be so, that our young people, or adults even, should be addicted to the constant desensitizing and brainwashing that comes through all these digital sources. Which brings me to the second step that I want to mention as being on the same path leading towards the eventual mark of the beast, some kind of a mark which has the association with the number 666, and that is the invention of the barcode, or the UPC, which is an acronym for Universal Product Code. Now, did I say that the barcode is the mark of the beast? No, I did not. But what I am saying is that the barcode is certainly associated with the development of the eventual mark of the beast. It is without a doubt a precursor to the implementation of that very same satanically inspired mark, which is prophesied in the book of Revelation chapter 13. In 1948, the same year that the fig tree began to produce its foliage, a young man named Bernard Silver, a graduate student at Drexel Institute of Technology in Philadelphia, in America, overheard the owner of a local supermarket asking one of the college deans to consider researching a system which could automatically read and record a product's information during its sale. Silver and a friend named Norman Woodland thought about the store owner's idea, and being a pretty inventive couple of young blokes, they began working together on a number of schemes. By October 1949, Silver and Woodland filed a patent application for something described as a classifying apparatus and method, in which they described both linear and circular printed patterns, as well as the mechanical and electronic systems needed to read a code represented by those patterns. In 1951, Woodland moved to IBM and eventually commissioned a report on the idea, which concluded that it was both feasible and interesting, but that processing the resulting information would require equipment that was some time off in the future. After 22 years of research and development, and the manufacture of the apparatus required to make the system work, an historic, prophetically significant occasion took place at Marsh's Supermarket in Ohio, in America. On the 26th of June 1974, a customer pulled a 10-pack of Wrigley's Juicy Fruit chewing gum out of their shopping basket, and it was scanned by the checkout lady. It was the first commercial appearance of the Universal Product Code, more commonly called the barcode. Barcodes are now displayed on practically every piece of merchandise sold throughout the entire world. Now, what's significant about the barcode? What association might this barcode have with the Mark of the Beast? Has it even got anything to do with the mark at all? Well, turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, and we'll have a look-see. And while you do, let me just mention something of interest that took place during the development of the barcode system, which associates numbers with straight black and white lines. If you take a look at a barcode on some product in your home, you will see that there are two separate blocks of lines on each barcode, with numbers beneath. For the barcode reader to work, it needs a boundary marker to separate between each of the two blocks of black lines and numbers. As well, the barcode reader needs boundary markers at each outer edge of the two blocks of lines to let it know where the barcode pattern begins and ends. The developers had to decide upon one of the numbers that they had assigned as being the one to represent the boundary markers for the two blocks of bars. One boundary on the outer left of the pattern, one in the middle, and one on the outer right of the pattern. Guess which number they picked? They picked the number 6 from the right-hand set of numbers. For simplicity's sake, let's just go by what our eyes can actually see on a barcode, and that is that the number 6 is represented by two thin black lines. They put a number 6 on the outer left, one on the outer right, and one in the middle. They use 3 sixes. 666. Question. Why didn't they use any one of the other 10 numbers? Well, as a person who believes in the God of the Bible, who works all things after the counsel of his own will, I think it would be safe to say that the people who have anything to do with the development and the eventual activation of the Mark of the Beast system are being progressively exposed by God as time goes on, so that his faithful servants can be informed and protected from being seduced and ensnared by the inventions of supposedly intelligent men, men who openly express their rejection of anything to do with God, and especially of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has a message for these people in Psalm 2, which is also a message for us, we who faithfully serve and honour him. In verses 1 to 4, God says, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us." Verse 4 tells us, "So he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision." Does that sound like a God who will let these great men of the earth bring in a system that is intended to enslave everyone and bring them under the rulership of the Antichrist without letting his faithful followers know what is going on? It doesn't to me. And I'm just simple enough and trusting enough in the God who I serve to believe that's exactly what he's doing. In Bible numerics, 1 is the number for God, but so is the number 3. There is one God in 3 persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number 6, on the other hand, is the number for man. Man was created on the 6th day, for example. So in the number 666, or 3 sixes, we have a number that represents a man, inspired by Lucifer, who attempts to elevate himself as God. That's amazing, isn't it? Lucifer, we are told in Isaiah 14:12, got himself kicked out of heaven for his failed attempt at usurping God. And yet, here he is again, attempting to get men to do the same thing. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, God tells us why the developers of the barcode system didn't use any one of the other 9 numbers. Here he says, "I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." God is showing these people up. He is revealing them before his people, so that they might know that he is God, and that man is not God, even though he might think that he is. And God declares things to his own people before they happen, so that they can know that he definitely is God, and the only God. In Isaiah 43, verses 9 to 10, God further reminds us, let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. And in verse 12 he reminds us about ourselves, where he says, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. In the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verses 16 to 18, we read of something relevant to our present time, that God has declared from ancient times. Verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Here we see a prophesied future time during the period of the Great Tribulation, when it will be impossible for anyone to buy or sell unless they have an identifying mark that permits them to do so. Somehow the coming Antichrist government is going to be able to identify every individual on the planet and track their personal and financial activities. Every truly born-again Christian will already have been raptured to be with the Lord. But we are told in verse 15 of Revelation 13 that everyone who is still here upon the earth who will not receive the mark and worship the beast will be killed. No one on the entire planet will be able to escape the compulsory universal identification system without forfeiting their lives if they resist. But God has not left his servants uninformed about what is now coming into place, and he reveals that to us with information that is hidden in plain sight. But it's information that only those with eyes to see can see, which reveals what these God usurpers are up to as they progress along their Luciferian path to bring everyone under the subjection of a man who sets himself up as God and who demands that everyone worship him as God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, God warns his people ahead of time, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That describes a man who imagines himself to be God. 666. God is warning us in Scripture about the man who wants to usurp the God of heaven, but who God exposes to his servants by that very number, 666. Prior to the invention of the transistor and the development of the computer, and then the development of the barcode system, these things were inconceivable. No one could really comprehend how a dictatorial government could possibly do the things that the Bible predicts. The ability for Bible believers to comprehend these things in our present day, however, loudly and clearly announces the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only were the prophecies about the mark of the beast in the book of Revelation incomprehensible prior to the 1940s, when the blossoming of the fig tree took place, but also a number of prophecies in the book of Daniel could not be understood either. That's because God told Daniel to shut up those prophecies until the time of the end, a time when many would be travelling to and fro across the planet, and knowledge would be exponentially increasing. From our vantage point along the continuing line of history, these things make perfect sense. The meanings of Daniel's prophecies have been unsealed in our historic time period, a period which God describes as the time of the end. Which brings me to the third step that I want to mention this morning as being on the same path leading towards that eventual mark of the beast, some kind of a mark which has an association with the number 666, and that is the patent application that I mentioned last week, which has been lodged by Bill Gates with the World Intellectual Property Organization. That patent application is for something described as the cryptocurrency system using body activity data. And we discovered that cryptocurrency is a digital asset or type of money that will be used as a medium of exchange for the purpose of buying and selling of goods and services. cryptocurrency will not exist in a physical, tangible form like paper notes and metal coins, but it will be digital data stored in a computer. I also mentioned last week that for a bloke like Bill Gates to be applying for a patent, which would give him copyright ownership of a digital money system, which is activated by tracking the movements of a person's body, like walking into a shop, for instance, or meeting with some friend for a cup of coffee, was very interesting to me. Someone who has been expectantly watching for the implementation of a cashless society, which will be based upon a mark in the right hand or in the forehead, like the scriptures speak about in Revelation 13. But what was even more interesting to me was the registered number assigned to the document covering the application. The number displayed at the head of the Bill Gates patent application is 002020060606. 2020 represents the year of the creation of the document, apparently, and 060606, or three sixes, makes up part of the rest of the number. Knowing what the number 666 represents in Bible prophecy, I did some research and discovered that this cryptocurrency that Bill Gates is wanting to introduce also includes everyone on the planet receiving immunization against the coronavirus, while at the same time also receiving some identifying mark which is included with the immunization that will enable the governments of the world to track who has been immunized and who hasn't. My message from last week revealed the agenda that Bill Gates and other ultra-rich people and organizations have for bringing in their supposedly brilliant system, which exactly describes what God says in Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17, where we are told, "He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." And then in verse 18, we're told, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666, in other words. Some people may say we are reading too much into this 666 thing. That it's just a coincidence that the universally compatible barcode pattern has the number 6 openly displayed as the fundamental part of the code. It's just a coincidence, they would say, that the application for a system of digital currency and personal identification that exactly describes what God said would be in place for the Antichrist reign of terror to take place during the Great Tribulation would also include, hidden in plain sight again, the number 666. Perhaps it's all just a conspiracy. However, let's have a closer look at what Bill Gates and his rich friends propose as being the mark that will enable the tracking of everyone's personal and financial information. The proposal is to include with their universal immunization against the coronavirus some form of computerized data storage that can be read by government authorities. It sounds incredible, I know, but what is in the late stages of development and testing is a vaccine delivery technology that, rather than a usual hypodermic needle, it uses a stick-on tattoo-like mechanism which injects invisible microscopic particles under the skin. Has it ever puzzled you how a mark could be placed in the hand or in the forehead, as the Bible says it will, rather than on the hand or on the forehead, and still be visible? I have. But as I've looked into the activities of Bill Gates and his companions in evil, I don't have to wonder anymore. To date, the Bill and Linda Gates Foundation has spent over $21 million American developing this new vaccine delivery technology. Funded by Bill Gates and Co., researchers at Massachusetts Institute of Technology have developed a microneedle patch containing a special dye that creates light-emitting dots under the skin. The emitted light is then detected by a specially developed piece of equipment that can read digital data like a barcode reader. The stick-on patch resembles a spiky piece of Velcro with hundreds of tiny needles made of sugar. The needles prick just into the skin and quickly dissolve, releasing the vaccine into the tiny needle holes, leaving a dot pattern under the skin. The developers have described this as a microneedle array patch, which can deliver and implant near-infrared quantum dots under the skin along with a vaccine to encode the information for decentralized data storage and biosensing. Wow, that's a lot of stuff to get our heads around. But what are these dots that are permanently left under the skin? What are they made of, you might ask? How do they store data? Well, I'm glad you asked. Remember that when the barcode system was first developed, somehow, someone made sure that the people involved in developing the invention included a clue, a sign for his people to keep watching this space. Three guesses for who I believe that someone was. Whoever it might have been, the number 666 was somehow integrated into the system so that Bible-believing Christians like you and me, who were watching for this to appear on the pages of history, would know for sure that it had arrived. God will not let any man elevate himself to think that he can usurp him, and so he spills the beans on him, or rats on him, as the sayings go. And as the Lord reminds his watchful people in Isaiah 43:12, "Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." And now, 70 or so years down the track, as we get closer to the fulfillment of the prophecy that the people who saw the shooting forth of the leaves on the fig tree will not all pass away before the Lord Jesus returns to establish his millennial kingdom, now, as we learned last week, we have the maturing of that 666 system being revealed through Bill Gates' patent application, also including a recognizable sign, a clue, in order that we, his people, will know to be vigilant, sober and alert, and to be ready. And that sign is the number 666. Some people, even Christian people, might still think that we are stretching things a bit and reading too much into these supposed 666 signs. But this week, some further information was revealed, which further spills the beans on these people who want to be the saviors of the world, but without the God of heaven being involved. The extra clue has been revealed in the material that makes up those implanted dots that can store the digital data. This week I learned that the quantum dot micro needles that will deliver the vaccine against the coronavirus will also include a very unique biochemical that will make everything work. The thing that will make the quantum dot vaccination readable through a special device is an enzyme. A little chemistry lesson here, but an enzyme is a protein originating from a living cell that is capable of producing certain chemical changes in organic substances. Now I hope you're sitting down at the moment, because it turns out that the enzyme that will be used in the data storage system, which we included with their mark, is called Luciferase. Let me spell that for you. L-U-C-I-F-E-R. Woo, hang on. Let me start again in case you missed that. Luciferase is spelt L-U-C-I-F-E-R-A-C-E. Luciferase. Can you believe this? The enzyme that will enable Bill Gates' quantum dot microneedle vaccination to store data is called Luciferase. Do you think these people did this on purpose as some kind of perverse joke? Or do you think, like I do, that someone else might have blinded them and is exposing these God wannabes so that his servants and his children might be warned about them? This warning sign is so obvious that we could be excused for thinking that someone is trying to trick us, that it's fake news or a conspiracy to somehow lead us into deceptions. That's what I thought this info might be. So I did my research into its accuracy. I looked into what this Luciferase actually is and where did the word originate from. According to what I found, Luciferase is being tested in recent modern medicine during the treatment of cancerous tumours. In an article posted on the Royal Society of Chemistry website entitled "Luciferase Gene-Loaded CSQ Dots as Self-Illuminating Probes for Specific Hepatoma Imaging," it is stated, and I quote, "Luciferase Gene-Loaded CSQ Dots can act as wavelength tunable self-illuminating probes, thus holding potential for improved tumor optical molecular imaging," end of quote. Doctors are able to inject Luciferase into cancerous tumours for better X-ray or CT scan digital imaging of those tumours. The tumours light up when subjected to a particular wavelength of an electronic signal. But what actually is Luciferase? Luciferase is the light-emitting enzyme responsible for the bioluminescence of fireflies and click beetles. It's what you see when a firefly flits around in the dark. It's a generic term for the class of enzymes that produce bioluminescence. In another article I read, I learned that, quote, much of the early work on the chemistry of the firefly luminescence was done in the lab of William D. McElroy at Johns Hopkins University. The luciferin was first isolated and purified in 1949, though it would be several years until a procedure was developed to crystallize the compound in high yield. End of quote. Amazing, isn't it? 1949 was the year after the fig tree put forth its leaves and bloomed. Luciferin, which is produced from lucifrase, is the product they need to make this grand cryptocurrency plan work. And, like a number of other things that needed to happen to bring it all together, the ability to produce luciferin also took place in the 1940s. Where did the word originate from? A 19th century French chemist named Raphael Dubois invented the words luciferin and luciferase. Both words, luciferin and luciferase, are derived from the Latin word lucifer, meaning light bringer. Now it's getting interesting. According to Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, Lucifer means the morning star. It derives from a Hebrew word that means to shine, to give light. Amazingly, the word Lucifer occurs only once in the King James Bible, and yet it is a word which is the name applied to someone that even people who have only ever read comic books recognize. Everyone knows who Lucifer is, and yet Bill Gates and his partners in crime have used an enzyme named after Lucifer as the main component in enabling their invention, a digital data storing tattoo device to work. God says in Psalm 2, which we've already quoted, that the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But he mockingly tells his high and lofty ones who despise him and his devoted followers that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15, we discover the only reference in Scripture to this fallen angel called Lucifer, where we read, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? And thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. I find it incredible that Lucifer, the one who got himself expelled from heaven for attempting to exalt himself above God, has inspired fallen men to design a digital system called the Mark of the Beast that will be used by a coming world dictator called Antichrist, who will do exactly what Lucifer did, in that he will attempt to exalt himself above God and demand that everyone worship him as God. I also find it incredible, but not unreasonable or unbelievable, knowing that God is laughing in heaven and holding all that they're doing here on earth in derision, that Lucifer has actually inspired his unwitting servants to accomplish the task of bringing to fruition the prophesied 666 mark by employing the use of an enzyme, a chemically activated substance that has been identified and recorded in history using his very own name, Lucifer. In my series of messages entitled The 1940s, The Fig Tree Generation, I listed a number of the more interesting and relevant things like events and inventions that I recognised took place in the 1940s, during the same time that God restored his people to their promised land, things which I saw to be applicable to the generation which God says in his word will not all pass away from the pages of history before his promised second coming. It's important to consider, though, that we who constitute the church, we Christians, the bride of Christ, are informed by the Lord that we are to be ready 7 years before that event, because we will be raptured to heaven before the great tribulation begins. That event begins when the Antichrist, the number of whose name is 666, is revealed, who we are told in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He's also the person inspired by Lucifer, who will enforce a system of buying and selling, and the recording of every person's activities, both public and private, which is based upon the number 666. Let me repeat the warning in Revelation 13, where we read in verse 17 about the law which will be imposed by the Antichrist. His rule will be that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. We are told in verse 18 what the number of that mark and that name is. The Lord says, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. We may not know the Antichrist's name yet, and as Christians, perhaps we never will in this present life, but we certainly do know his number, and that number is 666. And if we have the wisdom to work these things out, wisdom that comes from reading our Bibles and having a godly fear of God, then during these final days of the church age, we should be able to see this number clearly displayed in the development of this proposed mark, which is associated with Antichrist, and which is now being employed by Bill Gates and his emerging band of God usurpers. In closing, let me ask a question. If what we see taking place today through Bill Gates' cryptocurrency system, using body activity data, and his quantum dot microneedle vaccination, which has the ability to track the private activities and financial transactions of all mankind, if these things have nothing to do with 666 and the mark of the beast mentioned in Revelation 13, even though they fit the description of the mark of the beast perfectly, then will someone please stand up in this very late hour and point me to what does? The hour is very late, and although I've been vigilantly looking, there is nothing else happening that I know of. As far as I can see, there's no reason to keep looking for anything else, my friends. Having said that, however, let me tell you where Scripture tells us we should be looking in this late hour, and what it is we should be looking for. Just prior to him telling his disciples about the sign of the fig tree shooting forth its leaves, in Luke 21 verses 29 to 31, which we understand looking back was the rebirth of the nation of Israel, the Lord Jesus told his disciples in verse 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 also tells us why we should look up and what we are to look up for. Here we read the very wise counsel addressed especially to we who live in this exciting period of history. Verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Let's close in prayer and ask the Lord to help us to understand the things that we've heard today and the things we can study from the Word of God. Let's pray and ask the Lord to give us wisdom and understanding about these things. And not that we'll be looking all the time for the Antichrist to come, but that we look for a Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we've been able to spend together and looking into this very interesting but important subject, Lord, about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist who will come, Lord, to enslave all of the people of the earth, Lord, who are living on the earth. We thank you, Lord, that we look in your word and see the promise of the rapture of the church, that the Lord Jesus Christ will come and we will hear his shout, Lord, and we'll be raptured to be with him and to be with you in heaven, Lord, while all these things that are coming on upon the earth will happen, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for revealing things to us before they happen and giving us the ability, Lord, to understand them through your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you continue to shine the light of your word before our path, that we might end up in the place that is right, and it's where you want us to be, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our people. Protect us, Lord, as we continue to be locked down in our homes, Lord. We thank you and praise you for your protection upon us. We pray for your blessing upon each one on this Lord's day, and bless the mothers for this Mother's Day, Lord. Give them a blessed day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you determine in your hearts to continue walking with him, looking to him as he leads us and guides us through this very interesting time in history, and that he gives us patience to wait until the day when we can all get back together at Balaclava State School Hall as a church and be assembled together on the Lord's Day. We look forward to that. We pray for that. So be patient as we wait. Have a good week. God bless you.